Hi, everybody. I'm Roberta. I am a compulsive eater. I am so happy to speak with you tonight. I want to tell you stories about my recovery. First, let me introduce myself. I've been in program for about 6.5 years, maintaining a 70-pound weight loss. I sponsor on all levels. I live here in Orange County, California. I travel a lot for my work. I'm in sales, and so I hang out on the phone bridge. I usually am at the Pacific time, 4 a.m. phone bridge meeting. So for all my friends out there, thank you for coming. For 4 a.m., yeah, 4 a.m. I want to tell you stories about my recovery because I figure it's Friday night and you want, like, tell me a good story. So I'll tell you, I'm giving you all my best CEO stories. When I first came in, I remember I was told about the tools, the 7 tools that we have. And one of the food plan tools, obviously, is that you weigh and measure when you go out. And I remember one of the very first times I went out, I pulled out my scale, which is what my sponsor said to do, and one of the people I was with gave me such a look like, what are you doing? And afterwards I asked them, why did you give me that look? And the person said, well, it was obvious what you were doing. And I said, what was that? And she said, trying to make yourself show that you were better than everybody else. And I said, I was just trying to work my program. And that's been, it's interesting the things that people have said. Again, I'm in sales for a living, so I go out to lunch and dinner with clients all the time. When I first started weighing and measuring, I would say to people, I didn't want to say I was doing this for a weight loss program because that was too personal. I didn't want to say that. So I said, I'm doing it for health reasons. And that opened a whole can of worms. People would say, health reasons? What? What, do you have a disease? What's wrong? And that would, I didn't want to say anything. So eventually, what I say now is, I'm on a really strict food plan. I'm maintaining a 70-pound weight loss. And they say, you are? But you're a normal weight. I say, well, that's why, because I do this. Wow, you got a lot of discipline, a lot of self-control. Yeah, I let them think that. So that's a couple of my stories about the food plan. One of my favorite stories is at church. I was losing weight. One of the married guys at my church said, boy, you look almost hot. Now, I didn't necessarily want to look hot, but almost hot, I didn't want to look. So that was one of my stories about that. That's one of my stories about the food plan. Now, the next one about literature and writing. If you're not familiar with our program, we have to, you know, read literature and do writing about it. And one of the first things that had happened to me, make sure I keep my notes straight here, I'll give you my best story. When we do our inventory, we're required to, you know, do an honest inventory. We look in our past and we say, what have we done where I've caused harm to others? And there were a number of things that I listed. But one of the things came up that I hadn't thought about in years, and when I was in high school, I was the editor of our high school annual. And when I was in school, we didn't have a lot of money. And so I had a lot of personal photos that I wanted to get developed, and I had an account with the local film, you know, where you get your film, your pictures printed. And so I didn't mind taking my own pictures as well as the school pictures in to get the pictures developed. And so in my inventory, this came up, and I realized for me, that was stealing. And I realized that, you know, 25, 30 years after I was in high school, and I thought, I need to make amends for that. So I decided, okay, how much money did I probably had maybe $200 worth of pictures developed. And I thought, okay, I'm just gonna write a check for $500, and I'm gonna send it to the high school annual committee. So I contacted the school, and I said, can you tell me who's in charge of the annual this year? And they said, you know, whatever the guy's name was, Mr. Anderson. I didn't know who he was. And so I called him. And I said, hi, I was the editor of the annual 25 years ago, and here's my story. I did wrong, and I want to make amends for that. And he's like, all right. I didn't tell him how much. And so I sent the check. And then he left me a message saying, wow, that was really amazing. That was a lot of money. Thank you so much. And then I forgot about it. This happened in about September. And the following May, I was sitting in my office at home, and my husband, John, came in, and he said, hey, this package arrived for you. So I get this package in the mail, and it's a high school annual. That's what I brought, if you want to see it. And inside is a note from the guy. Let me put my glasses on while I read it. And he said, dear Roberta, thank you so much for your for what you did this year. All who heard about what you did were quite touched. I thought you might like to see where the annual, you know, is this year. I hope you enjoy the book, and I hope you like page 201. Thank you very much. All the best, Mr. Anderson. So my fingers are shaking, right, as I'm opening this thing. So I turn to page 201, And there on the page is the listing of that year, it was the year 2008, the annual, all the annual staff. And in the lower right corner, they took my picture from the when I graduated from high school, and they put it on there with all the other editors, and they said, the advisor and editors of this year's annual would like to extend best wishes and a big thank you to Roberta, who was editor of our 1981 annual. We want to thank her for her support, both financially and in spirit. Her financial contribution to this year's book, along with the sentiments expressed, were a real highlight for this year's staff and all others who heard about it. We are happy that although she graduated 27 years ago, she still thinks of her experience as an editor fondly and remembers the trust and responsibility that comes with this position. All the best to you, Roberta, and we hope you enjoy this annual. Now, by that time, I'm sobbing. So that's one of my stories. And I guess what's amazing to me is that I did wrong, and yet God made it right. So that was a good thing. Another thing that's interesting about my my inventory was that I'm actually doing a workshop tomorrow, if you're interested, at 10 a.m. It's a workshop on how to do your inventory in the column format talked about in the big book. It doesn't replace the existing See How inventory. It's just another way of doing your inventory. And I had done the inventory years ago, and out of that list of resentments, fears, and sexual relations, I had a list of maybe 100 things at the time that I'd written about. And a couple months ago, I went back to that list to say how many of those resentments or fears or just feeling bad about sexual relations that I'd had in the past, how many of those things still held on to me. And out of that list, and I can't remember the number, it's like, I don't know, 75 or 80, all of them were gone except for one. The only one fear that I still have is that I'll fail in my job. That's the one fear. But all the other ones are gone, and that's a testament to this program. I spent years thinking about all the bad things that I'd done. I would fall asleep at night, and it would be really quiet, and I'd just go, oh. And my husband would say, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, everything's fine. Everything's great. And then I would just go, oh, I was so bad. In this program, I've learned that this is not a program for bad people who want to be good. It's a program for sick people who want to be well. And I'm so grateful that this program has given me a way to get well. So that's some of my stories about the inventory. The other category is anonymity. You know, we practice anonymity. I have made so many mistakes with anonymity, I'm learning from that, and with that, I'll leave it. We've got that one there. Telephone calls. We are required to make 4 calls a day, 1 to our sponsor and 3 to other See How members. When I first came in, I'm like, I'm too busy to make calls. And my sponsor said, if you want what we have, you do what we do. And I said, all right. And I also was saying, like, well, I can just leave a voicemail, right? And for my sponsor, it's not in the literature, but my sponsor said, no, it has to be a live call, and you have to initiate it, which means if I call someone, I can leave a voicemail, but if they call me back, I can't count it. And I was like, well, I might have to make more than 4 calls. And he said, yes, that's right. And so I have. Every day I've made, by the grace of God, for 6.5 years, I've made over the highest number it ever got to was a Saturday afternoon. It got to 28 calls. And by the end of it, I kind of didn't want it to end. I'm like, go higher. You're there. Okay. So, but what is interesting to me is I didn't realize how isolated I was. I'm so isolated. Given my own choice, I would be in a cave with food and TV, and I would not come out. Which is funny because I'm in sales for a living, and my job is to get out there and say, hi, how are you? So how are things, you know? And that's totally a facade. And that's the stress of trying to go, I look like this, even though I feel like, oh my gosh, I can't. Like going golfing with a client for 4 hours in a small little car. Oh, that's like fate worse than death for me. So making outreach calls was part of my recovery. And what I find now is when I travel, I notice things like I'm in a strange city, I'm in a car, where's my hotel, where's the grocery store? And if I'm lonely, I get on the phone with my Bluetooth and I make outreach calls to people because I need it. It's like a mini meeting. I need the contact. And the relationships that I built with some of you on the phone bridge because of outreach calls, I'm so grateful. I need you guys. And I didn't know I needed you. But somebody before me came along and said, there are 7 tools. If you do these 7 tools, everything will work out fine. And that's been my approach to my recovery, is I've said, all right, and I do this program. I came in because I wanted to be thin. I wanted to have a regular-sized body. But I stayed because I realized I've lost more weight between my ears than I have on my body. Because the way I used to think, the pressure I put on myself, you must perform. They pay you a lot of money to perform, Roberta. Okay. I couldn't survive. I went to food and alcohol for years. And now I get to practice going to God. If I didn't work this program, I would be face down in the food. I would not have time for God. I would not have time for any of you. And I would not have time for me. And I can't live that way. I'm not willing. Why else would I give up food and alcohol? Like food. There were times I'm like, I can't live without fill in the blank, right? But now I realize I can't go back to that because the life I lived then, I don't want to live. But the life I get to lead with you guys now, I'm a delegate this year, and I was at the business conference, and I had the privilege of serving alongside people where I could see people giving their heart and soul to do their very best for this program, to share the message of compulsive eating to those that still suffer. What a privilege that is. The life that I have way better than any of... I used to, as a kid, do a lot of watching TV and reading books and just imagining what life would be like, because my own life was not like that. I was in an alcoholic home, lots of fighting and just crazy stuff. And so I escaped into the fantasy world, and I have found in this life that CL's given me, better than any book, better than any movie, any TV show. And it wasn't me. Honestly, God says, you do these seven tools, and he'll take care of the other 1,000 things in your list. And that I'm willing to do. More stories. Okay, more stories. Let's see. I'm going to make you cry. I hope not. I don't want to make me cry. Service. The best line, my sponsor, again, first couple days said, you need to do every one of those seven tools every day. Okay, yeah, meetings, 3 meetings a week, but make sure that you've been to 3 meetings in the last week. But service is a key point. Every day I need to do that. When I first came into program, a lot of service positions, you need at least 30 days of abstinence, I thought. But my sponsor reminded me, if you read that, the seven tools, service is abstinence. The greatest service to ourselves is the very first line of that. And all my life I had thought, I was told, if you do for others, go help other people first. All right. Here, help, right? And then I would get resentful, and then I would, out of the anxiety, eat over it. And this program turned it around for me, where I realized, however crazy it sounds to the outside world, I have to put me first. Now, what does that mean? What that means is, when I travel for my work, and I probably travel on a plane 60% of the time, going from one city to the other, my first priority when I leave the house is my food plan. What's my food? Is it packed? Where am I going to go? Am I staying at a hotel where I can actually prep the food? Do I know where the grocery store is? Do I have it? That's the priority, because if I don't have my food in order, it stresses me out, and I need to. So I make sure. And I use the analogy of a baby. My husband and I never had any kids, but if you've had kids, if you've ever taken them somewhere when they're little, I get the impression you can't just show up and assume that everything that your baby needs will be there, diapers and food, right? You have to bring it with you. Now, so I bring some food with me, but I also bring my scale with me to make sure that wherever I'm at, I'm looked after, because service is abstinence, the greatest service to myself. If I don't put myself first, then I'm not going to help anybody else. So that's my service story. I'll share with you a typical day. I do not say that anybody else should do this. This is just what my life is. I usually get up about 3:45 in the morning. I live here in California, and I listen to the 4 a.m. phone bridge meeting. So I'm on the phone bridge, and I go to the gym, and I work out, and I come home and have a shower, and go to work. Along the way, I have two sponsees. I have their calls. So I have an hour phone bridge. I have two sponsees calls. I have to call my sponsor. I'm also doing outreach calls. I have to make my 4 outreach calls a day. I'm taking calls from other people. I have a principle that anytime somebody calls me, I always call them back. That's a principle that I have. And then, of course, there's all the time prepping food. I did a workshop at a convention a couple years ago about how to prep vegetables. And at the time, I think that you know how we all have like themes for the convention? What is this year's theme? Knowing a new freedom. Then it was... joyfully doing something. So every title of the workshop had to be joyful. So my workshop was joyfully preparing vegetables, which I think is quite funny because it's annoying sometimes. But I do. I make sure I prep my vegetables. So I average probably on a normal day about 2.5 hours that I work this program, which sounds like a lot of time. But the truth is, I'd rather spend 10% of my time working this program and live 90% of my time in life as opposed to not having any life at all, where all I'm thinking about is the food. And that's what recovery's given me. So I try to work out a lot. And actually, I'm in the fashion show tomorrow, and I'm going to be wearing my yoga outfit, and actually going to try to do a couple yoga poses here on stage. And I fall out when I do it in the yoga studio, so I can guarantee I'm going to fall out here, but I'll do my best. So, but again, I try to put my program first to look after myself. What have I ended up with, I guess, is the question. What do I get as a result of working this program? And one of the initial benefits is I get to live in a regular-sized body. And to the world out there, I may look like a regular person. I know, though, I'm a compulsive eater. I was sharing on the phone bridge today that it really struck me. Yesterday in the business conference, we went a little bit late into lunch, right? We were talking about things, and it was like 12 o'clock, which is when the schedule said lunch was. And then it was 12:05 and 12:10. And I was, you know, looking like, yes, this is very important business here. Yes, I agree. But I'm thinking, it's lunchtime. It's lunchtime. Are we going to eat soon? What, are we go now? Is it lunchtime? And then at lunch, I went and got a huge plate full of food, and I sat down, and I was really worried. I'm like, are they looking at the amount of food that I have? And I'm surrounded by compulsive eaters. What am I thinking? And I just, it struck me that even though I've been abstinent by the grace of God 6.5 years, I'm still a compulsive eater, and my head still works a certain way. So I need this program, just to be honest and to share with you openly, to say, I'm a compulsive eater. Thank God you guys understand me. So what do I get? I get to live in a regular-sized body. I also have much less pressure on myself. What my biggest goal in life is to rely less upon me and more upon my higher power. Anytime I have found the food calls me, and I've shared this with a couple of you, when the food is calling me and I want the food, it's like a red flag, because I don't know why. If you ask me, how are things, Roberta? I will honestly say, everything's great. Everything's fine, because I don't know. But when the food calls me, that's when I have to say, Roberta, why do you want the food? And my answer is, I don't know. Just give me the food right now. And I have to say, if you got the food right now, what would that give you? And it's usually one of three things: relief from anxiety, or comfort, or just something fun. I've been working too hard. I just want something fun. And then I have to say, is the food going to give you that? And sometimes it'll say, yes, just give me the food. Right? It'll be 9 o'clock in the morning and I want my lunch. And then I have to really think, where's God in all this, Roberta? And I go, oh yeah, God, where is God in this? And that's when I get the impression God's standing right next to me, him saying, Roberta, I've been here all along. And then my next reaction is, I kind of forget about the food and I go, do you love me? And my higher power says, I've always loved you, Roberta. And I put this in front of you to train you to rely on me. And I go, will you help me through this situation? And he goes, absolutely. You give me your burden, and I'll give you mine. And his burden for me is just to work the seven tools. And then I can look back at the food and go, you're not what I want. You're not what I want. It's really God that I want. And that's ultimately what it comes down to. This is a spiritual program of recovery. It looks like I'm disciplined and self-controlled, but the truth is I'm not. It's God doing for me what I can't do for myself. And it's a trade. He says, Roberta, rely upon me, and I'll see you through any situation. So that's been my journey, is to rely less upon me and more upon God. And so far, it's worked. Now, the thing that I've realized recently is I think I thought that when I want the food, or I want that, you know, jolt of make life better, because life's really hard right now, I want an instant jolt. I want it instantly better. And I have found that it hasn't been better when I pray and I seek God. But what I do find is I can get through it because I'm no longer alone. I have the anxiety and the fear, but God's with me. And for a while there, I'm like, okay, we can do this. I got God in one hand. I got the fellowship in the other. We can walk down this scary road together. And then I get to the end and go, wow, you got me through. Yay, that's a good thing. But I've realized I still want that jolt. I want God to say, Roberta, I'm going to take all of that off. I'm going to make it easy for you. And I honestly haven't found that he does. He lets me walk through this. And it occurred to me the other day, Roberta, he may not ever make it easy. He may let you have an opportunity to die to yourself. I'm like, I don't like that. But I have to give him the right to do that. So that's my journey. It's a deeper journey about relying less on me, more on God, no matter where that takes me. So So that's that. What else do I want to share with you? I also have a host of friends. Again, I'm very isolated by nature, so you are all my friends. I'm very grateful to be in your company. What's my alternative? I could go back to the food. I could be at least 70 pounds heavier, and I could try to control things myself. And that picture, I don't know how that sounds to you, that sounds appalling to me. It just sounds like that's the last thing I want to do. So I get to practice letting go and letting God and just letting things happen as they may. So that's my those are my some of my stories to share with you. I send you my love, and I pray you have a wonderful time at convention. And with that, I pass.